Yo, what's
Love
up? This is
Talk Radio.
Yo, this what's up? This is Rashard Barnes. I'm the college pastor at Redeemer Church. PDP asked me to come on and to share some words from the Bible with you. And so what I want to do is I want to pray for us, and then once I pray for us, I'm going to present the topic, which I'm going to dive in. God, we thank you. Thank you that that we can come to you and even hear from you. And for those that are listening all about, I ask that if you would use this. For those that don't know you, I ask that you would awaken hearts. For those that do know you, I ask that as you can convict, that you would grow people into knowledge of who you are to lead to greater worship. And so we thank you. In your holy name, we pray. Amen. So I preached this message about 8 months ago to my college students, and the topic of the message is God is grateful enough to be in control. And so it's from this series called Gospeling the Heart. And so what gospel is that what God done for us in Christ, we couldn't do for ourselves. And the reason why we had this talk was because we need to be set free from something. We needed to hear truth to set us free. And so some of you are probably wondering, like, what I need to be free from, right? And so that's a good question. And so most of us think of a Christian life as a life full of duty. We're trying to spend our time trying to impress God, trying to impress others. In fact, spend a lot of time trying to impress ourselves. And so what happens is that this stuff becomes very burdensome, right? You know, you have to make all the right choices. You have to read your Bible. Don't have sex before marriage. Don't get drunk. You need to go to church. And so you look up, and all your virtuous endeavors don't seem very virtuous to you anymore. Or if you did not grow up as a Christian, you live your life either trying to get everyone to know you, or you hide from the world because you think no one likes you. You spend all your time trying to pretend because you're trying to be someone that you're not. In the midst of all these pursuits, you either find yourself either bored or overburdened, right? So I can keep going on sharing all kinds of experiences from all kinds of backgrounds, but the one thing is consistent. We are all trying to control something, and we're all controlled by something. We're all motivated by something or someone. So what we need to be free from is from all of these things. Being in control from our passions or lack of passions that leave us empty, right? And so what we need to be free from is those things. We also need to be free from those things so that we can be free to love, to love God, to love Jesus, to serve his church, and to obey his commandments in delight, right? And so my hope for this time is that we will learn that we need to follow God and be motivated by him, and that in God, through the work of Jesus Christ, that we are free. I want to share this quote with you. This famous theologian said this. He says, "The things that you think the most about God is the things that you love the most." And so for I want for this message is for us to think the most about Jesus. So we're going to talk about God is great, right? God is great, so we don't have to be in control. And so the term God is great is thrown out all the time in church, right? We hear the term, God is great, and then people say all the time, and people say all the time, God is great. And so in church tradition, we go around just saying this term, but it means nothing to you, right? And then with that, and with the Holy Spirit's help, we're trying to accomplish to understand the greatness of God from the scriptures. And so we're going to dive in for the next 20 minutes. So please bear with me. It's going to be fast-paced. I'm going to go real fast. If you have your Bible with you, grab your Bible because we are about to go. So when we think about the greatness of God, words that we can describe about him is that he is infinite, right? He is immutable. He's spiritual. He's personal. He's self-existent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. Now, as I say some of these big words, some of you are like, bro, can you explain this? Let me see if I can use an example. And so light travels at 186 miles per second, making it encircle the Earth seven times in 1 second and pass the moon in 2 seconds. At this speed, it will take you 4.3 years to reach the nearest star and 100,000 years to reach the next galaxy in the universe. There's thought to be over 100 million galaxies in the universe. It will take 2,000 light years to reach the next cluster of galaxies. And as I say all this, we have just began to explore the universe. And this is important because with all of this, the world was created by God when he spoke one word, and this word is let there be. In Ezekiel 1, 20-28, the writer speaks about the greatness of God, and he had this vision, and he saw the throne of God, and he saw the glory of God, and he fell on his face because he was completely overwhelmed, so overwhelmed that he couldn't even speak in human language. In 1 Timothy 6:16, it says, "You alone are in immortality, who dwells in the approachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be glory and eternal dominion." In Isaiah 40, we see multiple attributes of God about he comforts his people. He speaks tenderly to his people. Then he goes on in verse 15 and says that the nations in him are like a drop in the bucket. Think about that. All of the world to him is just a drop in a bucket. It is raining right now, just one single drop. That is the world to God. Psalms 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable," meaning that he has unmeasurable greatness. He has all the power. He has, there's nothing that he cannot do. Let me see if I can make this even more plain for my own life. And so every summer my family goes to Myrtle Beach in South Carolina. And we go with my wife's family. And last year was the first time that my son went to the beach. And two summers ago, he was inside his mama's belly. And so last year, as I took him to the ocean, I took him out there, and as we were walking towards the ocean, he saw this very vast, large pool of water. And if anyone has ever been out there, you can't see past 300 feet. And so my son at the time, 8 months old, started to drag me towards it, and I had to pick him up because I didn't want him to go into the water and drown. But he had this expression that we never heard before. He went, because he was so impressed by the greatness of the ocean. Then I thought to myself, I thought about God and asked myself, when I encounter God, am I impressed with him like that? A lot of times, the answer is no. And the reason why is because I get caught up inside life. You see, sometimes when we get caught up in life, we tend to forget about God. We focus a lot on our problems and sit back, and we don't really think about how great he is. So for you, as you are listening, in comparison to the greatness of God, how big is your struggle and your problem right now? As I talked about how great God is, we talked about the galaxies of the stars, as he created all those things, and as the scriptures give us more definition of that, how he is immortal, and he dwells in inapproachable light, and no one can ever see him because that's how big he is. He is that big. How big is your struggle compared to him? Now, I don't want to minimize your struggle. Your struggle is real, right? But our present struggle can cause us to lose focus on God's past faithfulness, right? And so what I want to do is that I want to look at three things that we struggle with that cause us from looking at the greatness of God and by the way of control. So we're going to have these three things. God is great, so I have to be in control when things are out of control. God is great, so I have to be in control when things are good. And God is great, so I have to be in control when God has something for me to do. So point number one, God's grace don't have to be in control when things are out of control. So for many of us, and I'm in included, when things get out of control, our first reaction, we try to control things, right? I do that all the time when I get frustrated, whether with my wife or my kids or my job. I instantly want to go into savior mode and try to fix things, right? But what happens at that moment is that it all becomes about me and I forget about God. And so as we talk about the greatness of God in that moment, I don't think that he is great. Actually, I minimize him, and the only time I talk to him is when I need something, and I turn him into a holy ATM, right? And so I don't see that he's great when things are going crazy. You see, in moments like these, like this, we have a small view of him. I have it, you too, and when we have a small view of God, we start to think that God was created for us rather than we were created for him. Therefore, we lose perspective on his greatness because we have turned him into our homie, this cool guy that approves of us and loves when things are against us. But we don't love him just for him, right? And so we address God as the big man in the sky has all these names for him, but we don't see him as the holy, majestic, mighty God that came down to save. Let me just set this straight. God is not our homeboy. He's much, much more than that. So the solution to the problem, of looking, seeing God so small, is to see him as big, is to have a high view of God. And so I can't give you a step-by-step process of how to do this because you'll miss out on God. That puts you back in control, give you a bigger problem. But rather, the point here is to trust him. The point here is to trust him. Trust him with your pain. Trust God with your suffering, right? So when things, I know things are going bad for many of us, right? And I'm very sympathetic to that. Things have not done well for me in my life either. But the problem is some of us stare at our problems way too long more than we stare at Christ, and that we gaze at him and within his beauty, within all his glory. For those that have not put their faith in Jesus, that may be the problem of the aching pain within your soul that you have not ever even looked at the cross of Christ. You see, if we look more at the greatness of God, in every situation, we would hold on less to our circumstances. We would see that God is greater. In fact, many of us wait for circumstances to change before we even come to him, right? In fact, in the midst of our struggle, we don't see that he is great. God is greater than your sin. Let me tell you that. He is greater than your sin. You're not identified by your sin. If you're in Christ, you're identified as a beloved child of him. He's greater than your disappointment. He's greater than your failures. So, again, the action here is to trust in the character of God and not in your circumstances. His character is that he is faithful. He is enduring. He is unending. He is great. Let me see if I can make this plain for my own life again. December 25th, 2013, Christmas Day, my wife and I announced to her parents that we were pregnant. My mother-in-law opened a gift that we thought that was creative to announce it. It was a bunch of peas showing the size of our baby in my wife's stomach. A few months before that, my brother-in-law announced that him and his wife were pregnant. Then the day after Christmas, we had a miscarriage. And during this time, I started to think on my circumstances rather than thinking on the faithfulness of God. I started to doubt him. I started to doubt that he could provide for us a child. And then the Spirit of God reminded me that he knows what it felt like to lose a child. In fact, he lost someone that was very dear to him, and that person's name was Jesus, his son, to which he knows from all eternity. He told me that he was greater than my disappointment. He overcame my greatest obstacle for me, and that was my sin. He died for my sin through the person of Jesus Christ. You see, if you aren't a believer in Jesus, I want you to know this, that there's nothing that God cannot do. If you think you're unworthy for God to save you, think again. And for those that are struggling, I want to remind you that the same God that saved you then is saving you now. So remind me of that in that moment, that God's past faithfulness and his present promise. Next, and my last point, God is grateful enough to be in control when things are out of control. I think that when the things are good, I think that is a lot of us, right? Things are going great right now. We have money in the bank. Some of us may be in school, so grades are good. Some of us may have tons of friends and family, right? And if we were honest, we know that control is nothing but an illusion. In fact, the great American heresy is that we don't need God. So this not only affects the world, but it affects the church. In fact, for my own life, the most scariest thing is for me to do ministry apart. from walking with God. See, a lot of us spend our time doing a lot of great things for God, right? But the problem is that we have not met with Him in weeks and in years, right? And we have to be careful. We have to be careful that the good things don't rob us of our joy in Him. Now, we should not run from being ambitious, right? We should be a people that is powerfully ambitious, but dependent upon God's fear. And so I don't want us to stop from doing great things, but I want to start doing things with God rather than for God. And so I just want to look at a few things before I close, of things that may indicate that we're trying to control things when things are going well. So here's my list. You are anxious right now. You have anxiety about everything. There's a lot of things going on. So therefore, your control is leaning into an anxiety, right? Or you may, or right now, because you're trying to control things and things are good, you're being inflexible. You are not losing grip upon life because, you know, if you lose that grip, you will be out of control. You don't know what to do. Other of us, you have fear in avoidance of risk, and so therefore you don't want to take any risk in life because it's too risky for you to lose anything. Or some of us are angry and we're overburdened towards others, and so you want to control everything in life. You're gripped to your possessions. You are very territorial, even in your friendships. You are codependent upon your friends, your family, your spouse, your girlfriend. You avoid responsibilities. You're afraid that people got to ask too much of you. Some of us are very discontent, never happy with what is happening. So we don't want to. So we're trying to not lose discontentment because we want to be in control. Some of us are micromanaging. Some of us are prideful and lonely, or you can't be vulnerable, or you can't be tough. So I think some of us don't engage in church because the fact is that you go to church, you're going to lose control. Some of us are sleeping with people that are not our husbands and not our wives. And you know if you get inside that community of faith, they don't call you to more. God's going to call you to more. And so therefore, you not want to be caught. So therefore, you just avoid people. So the scariest thing about all of this stuff is that all this is where we're minimizing sin. But let me read another list for us that is opposite of the list that I mentioned. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Galatians 5:22-23. Now, if you're going to be in control of your life, you can't have this list. True, genuine faith depends upon the Spirit. So I want you to remember this, is that God is in control and that He can be trusted. As I said before, control is nothing but an illusion. In the process of that you are trying to be in control of your life, you are actually choosing death every single time. Let me say it again. In the process of you trying to control your life and not let God control your life, you are choosing death. But we have to move on. Here's my last point. God is grateful enough to be in control when God has something for me to do. So the greatest aim of a Christian life is not to do just all these great churchy things, right? And so some of y'all, and this is the background that I grew up in, is that you think the only time that you can be used by God is you are a pastor or a minister, but you strive to do a lot of churchy things, right? Or the other of you, like, you know what, I'm not going to be a pastor or any of those churchy people things, and so therefore you just avoid doing church stuff, right? And so things like going to church, sharing your faith, and all that. So you control your life rather than letting Him work in and through you. And rather than Him telling you how to spend your life, you're telling Him what you should do, right? God is calling you to go do something. So the point of the Christian life, is for us to be good people, but not good people within ourselves, is be good because God is good, do the work of Jesus, but also the point of us, Christian life, is for us to know God. That's what God is asking you to do. And from knowing God and from being in his presence, that will cause you to go do great things for him. We don't do great things for God to love us, but because of God loves us, we do great things. And so therefore, we don't have to seek our glory. We don't have to be this church here. We don't have to be not church, so we can be Christian. God is great. I have to be in control. We have something for me to do. And so for some of those that feel guilty into the Christian life, you feel that you have to perform and do things for the Lord. That is not true. It is from seeing the greatness of God, as we have described about, from seeing how big and mighty that he is and loving him and enjoying that and seeing that we go do. And I want to close with this. We have a person that actually modeled to us the greatness of God, and that we talked about him throughout this whole time, and his name is Jesus. Jesus modeled him that he wasn't in control. Jesus came down to this earth and he lived a life of submission to the Father, losing every point of control, even to the point of death, because he knew if he was in control, the Father could not be in control, and he could not receive much glory. And Jesus hung upon that cross, and he died upon the cross because he had you and I in mind. And so for those that feel defeated, that, you know, I cannot give into letting God be in control, Jesus did. Not only did he die, but he resurrected from the grave, and he ascended into the heavens, and then he sent Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is dwelling upon and within you, and so therefore you can release control. So I have four concluding thoughts, and then we'll be done. God is great, so I have to be in control. Number one, the thing that I want you to do is trust. Trust in God. Believe in what he said that he was going to do. Number two, step forward. Do something. Ask someone to start meeting with you to show you who God is. Three, get involved. Get involved in the church. Go get involved in the community. That's going to help you look at him. And then four, behold him. Behold God. Look at him. The word I can use for God is that as I approach him is that I'm in awe. Be in awe of God. That's all that I have for you. But my prayer for you is that this will be true, that you don't have to be in control because God is already in control. Thank you.